Hello and welcome to the Wise Guys Podcast. I am your host, Brady Fitzgerald, joined as always by my co-host, Chris Hagan.
How you guys doing?
How are you doing today, Chris? You told me, I didn't ask you about it yet, because you were telling me there was some guy causing trouble at your rec basketball game. Well, give me the story. Give me the details.
It's been a rush to get back. I got back to my place about 4 minutes ago. I just had to hop on real quick. Still disgusting from basketball. I have a bag of peanuts for dinner. So if you're ever wondering what we sacrifice for the podcast, that's it. My thinking was that I get off of work at 4. We go play basketball at 5. Or right after. Get done playing at 5. I get on the metro. Then I head back. There we go. That's a 6 o'clock podcast. I said I might be a little late. Turns out when you get guys on the other team that desperately need the game to be played to 13 instead of 11, it kind of pushes that back a little bit. So we play two full games. I sit out the third one and I look at the time. I'm like, all right, it's 5:40. I play one more game and then head back. That's perfect, but I'll hang around. Watch, because there's someone taking me back to the metro station. And they play, you know, a little while. It's like 8 to 6. Normal basketball game. Then one of my coworkers gets yelled at for not passing by a very short man. Who was one of maybe slightly above average player on the floor, not even close to the best one. But anyway, that's where it started. Then one of the guys who had been playing for like 3 straight games was like, all right, playing to 11, 8-6. And he's like, no, we play to 13. And everybody else on the floor is like, no, we're playing to 11. Like, that's what we've been doing. He's like, when we haven't played to 11 around here. We played to 13. They're all like, all right, dude, sure. if you really want it this bad, I guess, like, we'll play to 13. It's 2 extra possessions. I don't know why he was so upset about that. And then he just lost his mind a couple possessions later. He called a travel on somebody.
Oh my. This guy sounds like the worst.
It was like, he was the worst. And he was perfectly fine for the first half of the game. And meanwhile, like, I'm just sitting watching this. So I had the best seat. But so he's yelling at them about like a travel. And the very next possession, he brings the ball up and he like picks up his dribble and he steps forward and his foot slides and everybody just points at him.
Travel.
That's travel. A travel. Yeah, that's travel. A travel. He's like, I did not travel. That is not a travel. And this for like 2 minutes, they're going back and forth. And the other guy's like, they know that it's a joke.
Yeah.
Like, they were not taking this guy seriously. So it was 9-1, basically, because even his own teammates were like,
yeah, they
like,
turn on him eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, it wasn't even eventually, it was just, even from the start, it was like, all right, buddy, it's just, like, game 7 of the finals, this is pickup basketball in Crystal City. And then anyway, the last possession, he wanted to go one-on-one with the guy who he kept arguing with.
Jesus.
And the guy just posts him up and gets a bucket at the end of the game. And then he walks up and he's like, that's why you lose every game, because you always want to go one-on-one. It was hysterical.
We could do
but anyway. So that guy added at least like 15 minutes.
Yeah, to the timetable. This brings up a couple of good points where there's so many ways. Like, everywhere you play pickup basketball, there's always some variation to it. Like, for some reason, yeah. Like, all I've always known 11. I've always done 11 everywhere I go.
Feel like 11, 15, and 21.
Yeah,
I've never heard 13.
At the local gym in South Carolina, like Strom, the student gym, everyone plays to 12. So I don't know where 12 came from, but 12 isn't as like it does. It makes sense, like, you know, I guess it's an even number, but I don't know. It is weird how everywhere it seems to be different. But if you're calling travels in a pickup game, unless it's egregious, like an egregious travel, like, come on, dude, you become that dude. And I think we could do it. It gave me an idea of top 5 that dudes, because we could definitely run.
Like, don't be that dude.
Yeah, like a top 5 versions of that dude, and we could definitely run one. And one of the top picks will be that dude on the basketball court that just cannot stop yapping, complaining. The worst is when I think when they're there's a constructive coach type of guy where he's like trying to like, oh, like I feel like if you could go there and like I could get you the ball there and stuff like that. But then there's the annoying coaching guy, which is like you need to do this, you need to pass the ball more, like give me the ball more. And so like there's a whole lot of guys when it comes to a rec basketball game that come into play.
And the funny, like the guy that he was arguing with for the majority of the time was playing 3-point line to 3-point line and just chucking the ball down the court, like trying to get layups the whole game. Like he would bring it up, either he would just throw it down the court or he would bring it up and then just lob it into the post to this older guy.
So nothing but
every single time. He'd lob it in. You get yours, OG.
Well, this is a perfect way to start.
Hysterical.
To start the NBA play-in recap podcast. We still have I guess it would be 8-9 games now to determine the final 8 seeds in both conferences. But we're not doing a pod late tomorrow. So we have we're breaking down what we have today. We're breaking down the West games first, and then going to go to the East games because the West games are a little less fresh in our mind. They were Wednesday night. East games were, oh, I guess Tuesday night, and then East games were Wednesday night.
Yes.
So, start us off, Lakers-Pelicans, a great game. It was back and forth almost the whole time. The Lakers actually had a run in the...
Well, in the fourth quarter it was, but...
Yeah, that's right.
The Lakers were up, I think the largest lead was 18.
Yeah, I was actually about to correct myself. You're right. It wasn't back and forth the whole time. Lakers had a big lead in the second quarter leading into halftime. Then Zion Williamson woke up. He realized old-ass LeBron could not guard him and literally did the same move, I think, 5 possessions in a row where he would just drive in, body, get a layup.
Jordan rules Zion because when he gets in the air, like the places on the court that he was jumping from, like I don't know how you can possibly defend that. That's what they did to Jordan. They were like, once he's in the air, we have no shot.
Yep.
We keep him on the ground.
Yeah. So,
and like, because Zion looked like old Zion.
He did. He looked in shape. Everything we talked about on Tuesday, what he needed to look like, he looked like. He ended up with 40, 11, and 5, but ended the game with an injury. He left the fourth quarter. I think it was 5-6 minutes
like
left.
3 minutes.
Yeah. Maybe it was even less than that.
They had like just tied it a minute ago, too.
So they finally bring all the way back. Zion gets injured. He might be out for the Kings game as well and have to rehabilitate if they make the playoffs. Terrible, terrible injury. Everyone was excited to see how the Lakers would defend Zion in the fourth quarter and how they would try to push past this. At least I was excited for it. And then the Pelicans made an interesting turn of, oh, Zion's out. Let's just bench Brandon Ingram for the last 2 minutes.
Was he banged up too though, wasn't he?
Like
he
I could was not
coming
tell.
Back from an injury.
I don't know. I don't know if he was just coming back and they had a minutes restriction on him. He wasn't playing all that well, so like I could see maybe that's why they benched him. But just to have Zion out in that moment and then you get even smaller against the Lakers, it's not a recipe for success. You don't want to get smaller against the Lakers. You always want to try to get bigger. So I thought that was extremely interesting. CJ McCollum, we said that he couldn't be the leading scorer if they wanted to win this game. He was not even close. complete no show. Herb Jones ended up with 10 points. He was pretty electric in the first half, but also disappeared. The Pelicans really fought hard when Zion went out and really tried to make this a game, but just ended up not happening.
I mean, when your go-to option goes down in a tie game, like that makes it pretty tough, especially when the other side has LeBron and AD. And even like D'Lo hit one of the biggest shots of the game with a minute left.
Oh, like, LeBron hit D'Lo a couple played fadeaways. Well.
AD was getting foul calls inside. So, yeah, D'Lo honestly was like the most efficient scorer on the team.
Yeah, he played great. He ended up with 21. LeBron with 20. So LeBron actually had a pretty mid game for himself. Later half of the game, he was not great, taking some bad shots. He had a couple LaFuck You threes, that I think one went in, and then one was at the SoFi logo, which is right after half court. It's probably, it's like that square blue logo right there. And he attempts it with a bunch of time on the shot clock left. It was literally just a FU3 and completely misses it, airballs it. So that was pretty funny. But Anthony Davis had 15 rebounds against Jonas Valanciunas. There was a big, it was emphasized the whole game, a big free throw differential all season long and in this game as well. I think, you know, some of it's probably Adam Silver getting the calls in. But the Lakers play a physical type of offense where a lot of their players are drivers and drive to the hoop. So it does make sense that they have a lot of free throws coming from that. And they're the Lakers. Yeah, so, like, come on. I'm going to turn on the light behind me real quick. Take the lead. I'm tired of sitting in the dark over here.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think there was anything egregious from the refereeing standpoint. And, like, they got, by the time they got back in the game, there weren't any bad calls, I didn't think, in the last few minutes. I know, maybe you have a different opinion on that. But if they have Zion, I think they win the game. That was the bottom line for me.
And I agree.
Like, it's like they dangled in front of us what we've been missing. Like, we were talking about the other day, like, this is his first big game as an NBA player. Like, what Zion are we going to see? Are we going to see the guy who has shown signs of being the most electric player in the league, or are we going to see the guy who looks slow and out of shape and misses a ton of shots? But saw the awesome Zion, and then it was just gone. Poof.
Ripped away from us. It was a shame. It was very sad. Because we were hoping for this type of Zion. We were hoping for a motivated one that was ready to go. And he really unlocked in the third quarter how he can beat this Lakers team single-handedly. And it was just a shame to have the Pelicans.
Him playing with Alvarado, though, is like a great... I love those two playing together.
Why do you think so? I agree, but I'm just curious.
It just seems like the chemistry there. Also, like, Alvarado, just the way he plays, just out of control. It's like controlled chaos, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that he just runs up and down the floor. I feel like he's such a great lob guy for Zion.
Oh, yeah.
So, sorry, I got peanuts in my mouth.
You're good. The beginning of the game, it was, I don't know if it was the first quarter or the second quarter, but Alvarado, like, headbutts D'Angelo Russell. And D'Angelo Russell gives him a thumbs up. They both got technical fouls. I was like, you got to be shitting me. How do they both get technical fouls just because he gives them a thumbs up? The officiating, yeah, you're right, wasn't terrible. I thought it was pretty even on both sides. Scott Foster tried to extend it as much as he can. The extender is in full playoff mode. He's ready to make these series go longer than they need to be. I hope. So, looking forward, I guess actually we'll talk about the Kings first, and then we'll look forward. So, to wrap up this game, I had a parlay with my brother. It was a player props parlay. We had everything but three things hit. And it sounds like a lot, but we missed Herb Jones we missed Herb Jones by 0.5 points. We missed Brandon Ingram by 0.5 assists. And then we missed one LeBron rebound and one LeBron assist. Absolutely.
The four things?
Well, I guess they were the same one. It was a triple-double LeBron. And he ended with 23-9-9. It was actually so brutal.
Ooh.
I know. And then they just completely leave out B.I. Herb Jones wasn't hitting anything. We had some pretty great lays in there. We had, what's his name? Taryon Prince, one of the guys. That the same guy, but one of those names. He was like over 5.5 points. He hits a three, hits a two. We're like, oh, we're right there. Hits another two. Got that one. We had Austin Reeves points. He ended up getting it. And Austin Reeves was doing nothing almost all game. Classic Austin Reeves. Fumbles around for about 3.5 quarters and then turns it up in the last 20 minutes. Gabe Vincent actually looked well for them. I was shocked about how well he played. Dino, the box score doesn't show that he played stellar, but he had some good defense, had some clutch shots in the right moments. He did hit the backboard on one of his corner threes, so that was pretty brutal. But It was a great game. I wish we got to see Zion at the end.
It was a great game.
But nonetheless, the play-in games so far, I think, throughout all the years, I think have been a plus in this league. I think it really adds to the playoffs. Even though it has some teams that, like the Hawks or a couple bummy teams that happen to throw in there. But I don't know. It gives teams motivation and gives them a sniff of the playoffs before it starts.
I think if you don't think about like the greater playoffs when you watch these games, then it's fun because it's not quite a single elimination game for the 7-8 game, but it's a single elimination game for the 9-10. The crowd's into it like it's a playoff game. So it is fun. But when you start to think about like, oh, these teams are playing to face the Celtics in the first round or face the Nuggets in the first round.
That's true, but you get scenarios. Like, I think, of course, the Lakers afterwards, they put all the stuff we talked about on Tuesday to bed. We wanted to face Denver. We wanted to see them early. I don't think it's a smart decision. I think they would have been way better.
Jokic does not care.
No. And Denver, Mike Malone came out and said, we swept them last year. We swept them in the regular season this year. But we know that the Lakers are hungry and they want to beat us. So our guys are putting that all behind them and just playing like we haven't played them ever before.
We're going to sweep them again.
Basically.
Like they're nothing.
Yeah, honestly. So hopefully we get to see a good matchup there against LeBron and Jokic, Anthony Davis. If any team could put the big men in front of them in the first round, it would have been this Lakers team. So hopefully we get to see them steal a couple games. I don't know. I don't have confidence that they can win that series, but I'm sure a lot of Lakers fans do. I'm sure a lot of LeBron sexuals do. But it should be a good matchup no matter what. Maybe we'll get the best sweep. The second best sweep of all time?
nothing could challenge last year.
All right. So let's move on to the 9-10 elimination game. Warriors facing their younger brother in Sacramento. Warriors got the rug pulled out from under them. They shown that they were too old. Yeah. Klay Thompson was 0-10 on his shots.
Talk about a no-show.
Yeah.
That was literally.
Yeah, literally a no-show. Keegan Murray took Klay Thompson's flow. Keegan Murray had 32 points. It's at the beginning of the game, opened up the game with two threes. Looked unstoppable. But so they kind of, it was close for a little bit. They were up, it was up and down. In the third quarter, the Warriors brought it back to a one-possession game. But the Kings had the ropes the whole time and just took care of business at the end and ended up winning by a hefty margin.
Yeah, it's hard to accept like how poorly the Warriors played offensively when you look at like the guys on it. When you think about like how good of a player Kuminga's actually turned into, and like obviously Curry is Curry, and Wiggins, you never really know what you're going to get. But I don't know, like as bad as Klay was and Chris Paul's like not making any sort of impact whatsoever. I complimented Kuminga, but I don't think he was very efficient at all. It was like getting the rug pulled out from under him. Because I'm sure a lot of Warriors fans were like, oh, this is little brother.
You know, I was thinking that on Tuesday.
We're already a lock to face the Lakers or the Pelicans. We're getting the playoffs.
The Kings are down men. They're having to start guys like Keon Ellis, who really perform for them, hit a lot of big shots, ended up with 15. They started Treyance Jackson Davis. I remember seeing
Ace
like
from Indiana.
Three possessions in a row. Someone tried to lob it up to him and he just was not in the position to catch a lob. when that was going on, I was like, these guys,
I still
lost.
Think he could be good.
No, I think he could be good too, but he just wasn't in the position to get those lobs and they kept sending him lobs for no reason. It was a cluttered game plan by the Warriors. They were just living and dying by what Steph Curry could do for them. And he only ended up with 22. So you didn't get Curry saving the day. You didn't get any help from Klay Thompson. You said Jonathan Kuminga, very, very inefficient game. Their rookie, Brandon Podzenski, who was great for them all year, had a dud of a game. Chris Paul was abysmal. And they rode on, like, they didn't even play Kevin Looney at all. And I guess with Sabonis.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, I know. I would think, like, with Sabonis, you're trying to get a bigger guy out there, but he's so, I guess he's so smooth with his touch and stuff that he can sneak past those guys. I remember they had Draymond at center for the better half of the second half. And it worked for a little bit, but
Draymond actually played pretty well.
Yeah, Draymond played
just
well.
Not giving you, like, offensive output that he needed to win this game.
Yeah, he took a surprising amount of threes. Two for four.
Four?
I thought it was a little
bit
more.
Didn't they say it was like his career best from three this season?
I
could have sworn they said that.
I wouldn't deny that. Harrison Barnes in the late, basically to seal the game against his former team that traded him, ends up sealing the deal and basically put a capper on the Warriors. So now the Warriors go home. Leads to a greater conversation of what do they do next. Klay Thompson will be a free agent. I'm sure he wants to stay in the Warriors system. I'm sure he doesn't want to go anywhere else. I don't know what team is going to see this performance and give him any type of money. A young team.
I mean, it's not even this performance. It's just like the direction that he's been trending for a couple of years now.
Yeah, he had to come off the bench this year.
This was kind of like the icing on the cake. Yeah.
I think a team like Orlando could use him. Just a veteran presence that can shoot. Because they have money to spare. It's gonna be one of those teams that just has money to burn. That'll give him probably a 2-year contract with one, like an option. But they have Draymond locked up. I think they have Wiggins locked up. Curry, Chris Paul, I think is becoming a free agent. If they want Curry to win another championship with the Warriors, they are going to have to rebuild this roster completely around him. I think you keep guys like Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, and of course Podzinski. But maybe you move on from Looney. You don't even want to play him in a jet. Taron Jackson-Davis. Maybe they try to flip Wiggins somewhere. Maybe they try to flip a couple of these young guys. But they need star power with them if they want to compete for championships again.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy that they have this many good young players on the roster, though. Like, teams that are that good should not have that much access to good young talent. But I guess that just speaks to their player development or drafting ability.
If you look, the Warriors over the past 5 seasons, it is it's honestly like a historical run here. They went 15-50. Then they went 39-33. I don't know if they made the playoffs or not. Then they won the finals and then got bounced in the second round last year and then missed the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
That is...
They'll probably win the finals next year by that.
Yeah, exactly. From that metric, it's like they're just...
Either that or they'll be a lottery team.
Technically, they're in the lottery here. Watch, they're going to get lucky. They're going to get like... They have 1% chance to get the number one pick. They're going to get like 3. And it's not like it's the best.
But the
draft
thing
is,
like, the year that they went 15-50 and they had the top pick was a total bust. The wise man.
Yeah,
he's honestly like, as far as busts go, he's the luckiest one. No one cares. They want a ring 2 years later.
Yeah, and he's stuck in Detroit. He had a better season this year than most of his seasons so far, which is not saying much because he barely played for the Warriors. He won a ring off the bench. He's our guy. I mean, he's the wise man, but it has not looked good for him. And everyone, like, I remember when they drafted him, it was like, oh, this is the perfect guy to fit with the Warriors.
It was a perfect fit because they needed a center.
So the fact that hasn't worked out and it didn't matter, like, normally a number two pick for a team like that sets them back 10 years, but because it's the Warriors and Clay. I mean, that 15-50 season, I think Curry played 5 games.
They were all hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was like Draymond was the star of the team.
Yeah, so there was a reason why they went 15-50. But the fact that they were able to win the championship 2 years later and none of that mattered, it was pretty impressive.
I feel like more teams should do that, no?
Injure a star player.
Like, if you're kind of starting to go on a little bit of a downhill, be like, all right, Like, you're going to sit this whole year.
That's, I mean, I know Curry was injured, but they did start slow, and he got injured. And,
yeah, and they weren't rushing him back.
No, no, they never rushed him back. They left him hanging all season.
And Clay, too.
Say again.
Was Clay hurt from the finals before? Was it that year?
Yes.
Like, the year they lost to the Raptors, and he tore his ACL?
Yep. I believe so. Because 2018-2019, Raptors won. And then bubble season was when they went 15-50. And that was when the Lakers won. So, yeah, it would be, that. All right. Let's give some more props to the Kings real quick. They were down a bunch of men. They only played, like, four guys. Alex Len did get a couple minutes. I thought he was going to go off. But he did not. He did not go off like he normally does. But Keegan Murray went off. 32 points, 9 rebounds. Sabonis.
Could Keegan Murray like be in the conversation for most improved?
I'd have to look at his
numbers from last year.
Yeah.
I feel like he's becoming much more. I guess he's only averaging 15. I think he's been like such an impact player on that team.
I agree. I think he has too. He's.
Yeah, I guess he hasn't had the statistical jump.
He has a luxury where he's a small forward playing with Harrison Barnes in the power forward, but he's like lanky and tall as well. So like he has some of that power forward mindset to him, but he can shoot as well. I mean, I guess so can Harrison Barnes.
And that's how he played at Iowa. Like when he would get the ball in the post, he was unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's against college defenders, but that's a strong part of his game.
Yeah, Fox played well. Sabonis played well. Unsung hero and Keon Ellis. He started, and I was like, oh, we're screwed. Like, this guy's starting. Like, he averages 5 points a game. Ended up with 15, 5, and 4. So they were undermanned, and they beat the big brother, man. It's a good night to light the beam.
It's good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they face the Pelicans.
Almost makes up for last year.
Yeah, that's true. Now they face the Pelicans going forward. Pelicans, last time they played without Zion against the Kings, beat the Kings by a pretty hefty margin. I don't know who was out about on the Kings. I don't know if anyone was or not, but I knew Zion was out. I just saw it on Twitter. There is definitely a chance for the Pelicans to win here. The Kings could keep this going, then face the OKC Thunder. I think either of these teams honestly has not a great shot to beat them, but a good shot to push OKC to 6 or 7. I know this isn't a bold take or anything, but the OKC one seed is not fraudulent. Like, they won all the games they needed to win, but they're a super young team. They have a lot of flaws in the center game. They did nothing at the trade deadline besides get Gordon Hayward, which I don't even know if he really plays for them. So there's some holes on this team that people can expose. And my hope is I hope that we can get the Pelicans winning this and then Zion eventually in the first round series. Because I think Zion could be a real factor against OKC.
Yeah.
And I don't think OKC could stop him. So that would be my hope.
Honestly, like, I don't know who can stop him when he's playing at the level that he can achieve. But there's so much weirdness with this injury. All of a sudden, he was just gone, and then it's like he's definitely out for the play-in game. And, like, we don't know about the first round, so I hope the same. I want to see him in the playoffs again because that was awesome. There's so much uncertainty.
Yeah, there is. It's weird. Both East and West Side had a star player leave the game. I guess Jimmy Butler never left the game, but similar injuries where it seems like they're both MCL. I think Zion was a hamstring.
Butler's like definitely done, right? Like Zion's kind of
hamstring for Zion. Won't play in the play-in game, but could come back in the first round. Jimmy Butler is an MCL sprain. He is done for the play-in game, and I think they said
like a bunch of weeks.
It does seem like a bunch of weeks. It seems like he wouldn't be able to make it.
He's done.
Perfect segue to the East side.
Like, they're not going anywhere.
Let's talk about Miami then. So, Miami, 76ers. Talk about great games.
Woof.
This was a great game.
It was, yeah, okay. So this this game was shitty for like 2 hours.
Yeah, the ending was great.
Guys just decided to start hitting shots. Is basically how this game played. Like the Sixers were getting booed at home in the playing game. Embiid was not Embiid. He had like a couple big buckets and assists at the end, but like, and Butler was not Butler. It just was not like the best parts of these teams did not show up, and
so
gave way to the Nick Batum game, which was
go into halftime. The Sixers had more boos than three-pointers made. They had 3 3-pointers made and 4 boos by the chant, by the crowd. Jimmy Butler, during that time, had 5 steals. I mean, I don't know if that was the first half or the whole game. I think
it was the whole game. He had 5.
But he had 3, at least, in the first half.
It was like so easy, and they all just turned into dunks.
Yep. I think the announcer said that out of 5 steals, 3 of them opened up to wide open layups by Jimmy Butler. So like not even a pass, he just ran all the way down.
Yeah, not like an outlet or anything.
No. I gotta say.
It was just sloppy.
It was a sloppy game. Jaime Jaquez, he looked ready to beat the Celtics. He was so ready to everything that he did in that game, I was like, it's going to completely work against the Celtics. Like, this is going to destroy. Yeah, it's like, this is going to destroy the Celtics. I know there's a lot of Celtics fans that even before the Jimmy injury, were like, give me the Heat. Like, let's just get him out of the way. You listen on Tuesday, I did not want them at all. Hopefully with the Jimmy injury, it means we're going to get the Bulls. But we'll discuss that when that eventually happens.
I mean, either way, it's like, it's the Heat without Jimmy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Jimmy Butler, you did mention, had an off game. I mean, he injured his MCL in the second quarter, early second or late first. I forget which one it is, but he toughed it out, played the whole game, as Jimmy Butler tends to do. Tyler Hero had a great game. He was the offensive weapon that they needed. He was able to get 25, 9-2. Bam Adebayo had a double-double, but he did not produce.
That 25 was on a lot of shots, though, wasn't it? Like, he didn't start hitting shots until the end of the game. Yeah.
Tyler Hero was 9 of 27. Jesus.
But at the end, like, he was getting all the big buckets down the stretch. So I get, like, you can't rip on him too much because he was still the guy that was, they were giving the
game. So they're down by 5. I go in my room to grab, I think, like a freaking Dr. Pepper or something. And I come back out and the game's over. The Sixers won by 1. And I was like, and they're showing the replay of the Tyler Hero 3 that would have put them up 1 or up 2, I guess, to win the game. And they called it off. I wasn't sure if you watched that or not, but they called it off. I wasn't sure why. I don't know if there was a penalty. I don't know if there was, there was time on the shot clock. So I was, do you know why they called that? They waved that off at the end?
No, I don't. I didn't see it.
I was just baffled.
I just saw them hit a 3 with like a second left. And then like that cut it to 1. Are you talking about after that?
Yeah, they had the game won. And sorry, I'm trying to look this up. I do not see anything. They had the game won off that shot, and I don't know why it didn't count. But it ended up not counting. Sixers win. It's over. They're facing the Knicks. The now Jimmy-less Butler Heat have to face the Bulls. The red-hot Kobe White Bulls, by the way. So, also, you did mention earlier, Nick Batum. He got 20-5. Phenomenal game by Nick Batum.
He literally kept them in this game for third and half of the fourth quarter.
While Embiid was in his slump until the fourth quarter, I think Embiid ended up with 11 in the fourth. Could have been more. I remember the announcer saying that like midway through the fourth. But he had a lot of good assists in the end. He had a lot of open threes that they just let him take, which ended up going in. But during that stretch where he was down, Nick Batum was the guy to step in. He was pushing. At some point, he pushed Tyler Hero into the backcourt, and they got the ball back. He got a couple blocks. He was all over the place. Did you see?
Yeah, the block on Hero with like a minute left was that was awesome. Was he huge. Also had like a crazy putback too. It wasn't just threes.
Oh yeah,
although he did hit what like 5 or 6 threes.
He ended up hitting. He ended up hitting 6 for 10. That putback was his only other field goal.
They lose that game if it's not for him.
So Nick Batum's last 5 games: 0, 5, 2, 9, 9. 0, 7. Doesn't even get close to 20 until you gotta go back to March 31st, where he got 19 against the Raptors. So
I mean, we say all the time in like in elimination games, there's somebody's going to step up and become a hero.
That's a great point. I was just about to bring that up. Not only did Nick Batum have a great game, but This box score doesn't do its justice, but Kyle Lowry, the other old head on this team, ended up with a pretty good game himself. The points and the rebounds and assists don't do it justice, but in the final seconds of the game, the Sixers are struggling to get 2 points to put them ahead. They're struggling on an inbound pass. They have to call 2 timeouts in a row. Kyle Lowry falls down and then gets behind his defender, then gets the inbound, makes a perfect assist to Kelly Oubre, and they put him up 1. So it was a great game by the old heads for them. Tyrese Maxey had a pretty good game. He had a cool, like a average game, honestly. But now I'm looking at it. He had a pretty trash game. But he did have a cool putback where he got blocked in midair and then caught the ball again and then dunked it. That was pretty cool. Tobias Harris desperately needs to get off his team. This guy is hot ass. He stinks. I know 76ers fans hate him. I know. I can't see a positive that he has on the floor. And his court awareness is terrible. Kelly Oubre though, fire game by boards. Kelly Oubre. Yeah, 10 boards. Congrats. He was trash. All right.
I don't. This team does not seem like they can hold up for the whole series.
So I was just about to bring that up. They said B-ball Paul after the game, who is Paul Reed on the 76ers. He said that they wanted the Knicks. They wanted the easier matchup in the first round, which makes sense. I mean, it's easier than the Celtics. But do you think with Joel Embiid going up against Hartenstein, OG Anunoby, maybe some Mitchell? Robinson, we get them in there, yeah. But do you think they can hold Embiid to a similar game like this?
I don't know if they can hold him, but if you decide you're gonna let him get his points and just take everybody else out of the game, which doesn't seem like it'll be that difficult, then I think they'll be fine. And I think that's probably what they'll do. I think we'll see some huge nights from Embiid. And there could be games where he puts up 45 and they lose.
So I guess luckily for Embiid, he gets two days of rest. They play the Knicks on Saturday. And so he can get some time to get healthier, get a little bit more in his mojo, get a little more of the rhythm. I think at Madison Square Garden, they're going to be in trouble in these games. I think at home, they're going to have a more likely chance of stealing them. I still think, man, I don't know. I think the Knicks can win this series, but they're going to have to, like, I think the veterans on, we're going to see more games from these veterans on the 76ers. I think Buddy Hield's going to have a game. We already saw the Nick Batum game. There'll be a Kyle Lowry 15-point game. And they need Maxey. Like
Maxey will get his.
Yes, points. They need Maxey to be there. It's funny when you look at both sides of the ball. Jalen Brunson is licking his lips going after Tyrese Maxey, and Tyrese Maxey is licking his lips going after.
Yep. Jalen
Brunson. So that should be a great guard matchup. It'll be interesting to see how they defend Joel Embiid. I'm guessing OG Anunoby will help them out on that. But, I mean, we're maybe there's even a Tobias Harris game in there. But
all that we talk, I think there is.
Yeah, that's how it goes. I go on the podcast, say these guys suck, and here we go. did you see Nick Batum's wife tweet out, that's why Batum's in the fourth quarter? Great, great line from her. You know what I'm talking about, right? That one random, I don't know who's the rapper who said it, but he was like, fourth quarter, yeah. Why the fuck Batum in? Great, great bar. Right
Wait,
there.
Yeah, who was it that
said that? I don't remember who said it, but that was a great comeback from Nick Batum's wife right there.
Yeah.
All right. So, the last game we have to talk about is the Bulls-Hawks. It was tight until the third quarter. Kobe White starting to go off, took Atlanta right out of the game. Trae Young had a pretty abysmal game. Kobe White earned himself, I know it doesn't count towards the regular season. Sadly, it doesn't even count towards his career high because it's in the play-in and these stats just go into the void. There's literally nowhere to look at these. I guess like if you Googled like play-in stats, yeah, that's where you could find them. But I don't think they're on NBA reference or anything like that. But that being said, he got 42-9-6, completely carried this team. It was him. It was DeRozan. Vucevic had a nice game. And then Ayo Dosunmu. Yeah. Was a huge impact for them. Really?
Yep. He's on the one seed team that got beat by Loyola.
Oh, okay. Nice. So it's great. It was great to see Kobe White. It was all season long building up to this. This was his career year. I mean, he's been in the league for 4 years. Everyone ripped him off. He's only 24 years old. Another case. Let's add it to the case of NBA guys you shouldn't give up on.
Yep.
Until they're 26.
Give him time, figure it out.
Yeah, just give him time.
But he did have a weird trajectory where like his rookie year was really good, and then he had 2 years that a lot worse.
Yeah. So they interviewed him in the game. And he said that he would compare himself to other players in the draft class, like Tyler Hero. I forget who else they said that he was comparing himself to. But he would get in his own mind. He said if he would start to miss shots, it would affect the rest of his game. But now he's grown into his own, become a leader for this team, and carried them to the 8-9 plan round. I know, right?
Carried them to victory in the 9-10 playing game against the 36-46 Hawks.
The Hawks, this is...
He has had a great year, and I, like, good for him, because he did turn his career around and prove a lot of people wrong. But this was a ridiculous game.
The Hawks, this was the nail in the coffin. They have to split up DeJounte Murray and Trae Young. It's not working. There was a play where they like both set a screen they were just like in each other's way, literally just in each other's way. Trae Young played terribly, did have 10 assists, but like good for you, Trae Young. DeJounte Murray played well, not as well as they needed them to. And they just couldn't get anything going. They got four of their starters with 20 points, 20 plus points, and they still lost by 16, 15.
Yeah, I mean, like, this team plays no defense.
No, none at all, which is funny because DeAndre Hunter was supposed to be this big defensive guy that they got in the draft. He hasn't worked out in the league. He had 8 points and didn't help out on defense whatsoever. And they had no
He's
one.
A brick.
Like, they had no one off the bench to help them out. They tried the certified shooter in Garrison Matthews. They tried Bruno Fernando. Even Wesley Matthews got some minutes. But,
how old is Wesley Matthews?
He's got to be... I have it right here. Jesus Christ.
Born in 1986.
That's bad.
That sounds like forever when we're talking about the NBA.
I know. He's older than LeBron.
Oh, I thought LeBron was like...
39. Oh, no, he's 39. I'm dumb. That was an unwise moment. I always think LeBron just always looks 36 to me. Looks like he'll always be 36.
I'm like my mom. I'll always be 39.
Yeah. LeBron's never had his 37th birthday. It's just been 36 the past 3 years. That LeBron definitely seems like the type of guy to do that. Like when he reached 39, when he reaches 40, he's gonna be like 39 again. Let's do it. Let's run. This doesn't give me a lot of confidence in the Bulls. They should be able to take care of a Jimmy-less Heat. If Coby White plays this well again, they'll definitely take care of a Jimmy-less Heat. But going forward, it's either the Celtics have a pretty good first round looking at it now. It was a danger. It was either going to be the Sixers or the Heat. But now Jimmy Butler seems like even if they make it into the playoffs, that he will be out for the first 3 or 4 games. And we'll be able to.
I think longer than that. I heard like several weeks.
Yeah. So even if there's reports like that, it's always longer than the reports are. Yeah. I think they're just done. So hopefully I get a nice, easy series to worry about in the first round. And I won't have to stress as much. Isn't that nice?
There's literally like one team in the whole playoffs that I can confidently say this will be easy, and it's the Bulls. So
yeah, like even what we were talking about on the West side, like I think the one seed is like I think the Kings can definitely push for that one seed to beat the one seed, and I think if Zion is there, he can definitely push OKC to the limit.
Yeah, I would not be excited to play them.
No, not at all. And as you just mentioned, like even if you're facing the Kings, you have to worry about their two stars. Like they have the two stars. This you're going up against Coby White and DeMar DeRozan. Like you're not just quaking in your boots for that.
No. Not scared of DeMar DeRozan's mid range.
This seems like if the Bulls do face the Celtics in the first round, this seems like a game 4 at home. Bulls steal it, win their Super Bowl. And then sweep. Yeah. Like the Hawks last year, which I guess the Hawks ended up winning 2 and beat them in 6. But similar to that.
Forgot about that game 5 that they lost in it.
Yeah, I know. At home.
That feels like ages ago compared to what happened the next season.
Oh, yeah. No, that it felt like honestly, when I was talking about it, I was like, oh, yeah, they played the Hawks and they lost those 2 games. But it got buried after the next 2 playoff series. So, going forward with the Hawks, we did it with the Warriors, so we'll do it with the Hawks. It should be interesting to see if they choose DeJounte Murray or Trae Young. Do you have an opinion either way, which one they should choose?
That'd be Trae Young, right?
I think if you're trying to save ticket sales and relevancy to some sort in Atlanta, you try to pick Trae Young. I think if you're trying to win basketball games, I think you pick DeJounte Murray. Better at defense. He's taller.
Let's not forget, though, that this team went to the Eastern Conference Finals.
No.
Not that long ago.
I could forget it.
Just saying. Like, it's worked.
Yeah, it's worked. And I guess that was before DeJounte Murray got traded there. So there is a blueprint for what you're saying.
And I never understood that trade from the beginning, honestly.
No, it was they put themselves in a cap situation where all of a sudden now you have redundant positions.
Yeah. Your best players are playing the same position.
And it's hard for them to want to completely reset. I think they still owe the Spurs 2 first-round picks for that DeJounte Murray trade. So they can't trade both of them. But they're going to win some basketball games. They're going to have to figure this out. And
yeah, not a great situation that they're in.
No.
Kind of in that Wizards territory.
Yep. The no man's land, we have no culture. I mean, built around us, we just kind of have players that play around. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. They have a good coach now in Quinn Snyder. So they have the guy in the front office and in the coaching staff to make a culture. They just got to get the players that want to buy in.
Yeah. Yep. Totally agree.
All right. Well. Those are the playing games. Kind of all we got. Let me see if I missed off anything on my notes. Okay. Yeah. I guess we kind of talked about it. Do you think, if you're the Knicks, are you worried now that you're matched up against Philly?
Yeah, I think you'd be crazy not to be at least a little bit worried.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to go up against the MVP, at least the reigning MVP.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's
and
a good
like
shot
you're also not at full strength, whereas they are.
Mm-hmm. And just getting back to
like, it, I think the series will go 6 or 7. I did not like the way the Sixers played last night.
No. If they have more games like that, it'll be a pretty handed Knicks series win. But I think there is, like, if, you know, there's going to be a Joel Embiid game that is 40 plus. There's going to be one that, and I talked about it earlier, there's going to be a Buddy Hield game, there's going to be a Kyle Lowry game. So they're definitely going to get, and a Maxey game. So they're going to have a handful going into round one. And
I just think, like, I think the Knicks are so good defensively and Tibbs is so, like, strategic that they're gonna find ways to beat this team, like, to get this team out of their rhythm.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
it's going to be tough to win at the Garden.
It is. That'll be the key. If the Knicks can take care of business at home right at the beginning, they're going to set themselves up. I mean, yeah, of course.
They got to set the tune early. If they drop a game at home,
and it's getting looked at.
Everything flip flops.
Yes. Completely agree. Especially if they lose game one, it's gonna be the talk. It's gonna be like, oh, are the Knicks frauds? Were they frauds
pressure
all
too.
Year? The pressure.
Oh yeah, no team has as much pressure as they do outside of Boston. Completely. Just because it's New York.
Yep. And you know the fans are gonna go crazy. They think they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. They very might well, but there's something about having to face Joel Embiid in the first round that, you know, the Sixers haven't had the best playoff history, but it's not a cakewalk.
No, I don't know. And they're usually fine in the first round.
That's true.
Second round is where everything falls apart.
That's a good point. All right. Well, quick one today. Under an hour for the first time in a while.
Almost hit an hour though.
Yeah, we're right there. We got 8 minutes until we're there. But I got to run our graphic designer, Zach Lambert. It's his birthday today. Give a quick little shout out at the end
of the
pod.
Happy birthday, Lambert.
Happy birthday, Lambert. Thank you for all the great thumbnails that you have produced for us so far. Well, thank you all for listening. We're going to be talking about the first round of NBA playoffs. Before we go, I just got to say, it was so exciting to just be able to, like, the game, the Bulls-Hawks was wrapping up. It was just about over with, like, 6-7 minutes left. It was nice to be able to fall asleep with NBA playoffs on, even if it's just a play. Excited to keep talking about it. Excited to see these matchups unfold. And see everyone on Tuesday.